Thank you for listening to the weekly podcast from Exchange Church, Belfast. If you would like more information on Exchange, please visit us online at www.exchangechurchbelfast.com.
We are continuing our series this morning. We've been doing a little series that we've entitled Flow, and it's basically just been an emphasis on God's love. If you missed the last 2 weeks, can I really, really encourage you? Helen has mentioned it already, last week's teaching. Can I encourage you to go on and download those from our website? They're absolutely amazing. I'm not just saying that because this is our church. That teaching that we've been looking at has been incredible. There's something amazing whenever you start teaching on the basics of God's love. It's actually one of the best things we could ever hear as Christians. And it's fundamental, absolutely fundamental. Time and time again, in the Bible, in the New Testament especially, we read of people like the Apostle Paul and the disciple John, who called himself the loved disciple. We hear them reminding us time and time again to never forget God's love, to be rooted and grounded and established in God's love, like what it says in Ephesians 3. And there's something really important about listening to their warnings, because understanding God's love is extremely important. And as it says in Ephesians 3, it can help you understand the fullness of what God has for your life. Andrew made a really bold but true statement last week, and he was saying, do you know what, if there's an area in your life where you're maybe not experiencing stability, that's maybe a little bit chaotic, that's absolutely crazy, then maybe you don't fully understand just how much God loves you. And that's quite a bold statement. If there's something in your life that's mental, that's crazy, that's out of control, then perhaps you personally don't understand the love of God the way he wants you to understand it. You see, something happens whenever you know that God loves you, whenever he's crazy in love, head over heels, fascinated, obsessed with you. Something happens, something changes in your life. And knowing that can balance and can make sense of all the craziness that goes on. God's love is radical. It's really easy to turn off when someone stands up and goes, right, today we're going to talk about God's love. It's probably automatic in most of us that we go, I know all about God's love. I know that God loves me. I've learnt it from I was no height. I've sang the song, Jesus loves me, this I know. I know all about God's love. And it's so easy that we just switch off and that we don't pay attention. But let me tell you something. You're probably thinking, Jill, we want something full on this morning. We want something radical. We want something where we're going to go out and just feel that we can change the whole street outside in 5 seconds. Let me tell you, there's nothing more radical, there's nothing more life-changing than the simple message that God loves you. Not just loves you, but that he likes you. He actually wakes up and he wants to spend time with you. It's not just this fuzzy little notion or emotion that he has. He wants to show you that he loves you. And that's incredible. Amen to that. God is incredible and his love for you is absolutely incredible. One of the things that we've also been looking at, and I'm kind of trying to do a recap of last week as well, because I know that there's some new people here this morning. But one of the things that we have to move out of is just this simple head knowledge that God loves us. Because most of us in this room know that up here, okay? But the love, that love of God, he just doesn't want it to stop there. He wants it to impact every single bit of our lives. He wants us to experience it. Not just know it in our heads, but to actually see his love just flow out of us and infect, totally infect, our whole lives. It's not just about knowing. God's love should change you. So if you're looking at your life this morning and you're going, do you know what? My life is actually, it pretty much sucks. Can I suggest something to you that you know God's love up here, but that your life could change dramatically if you just let it drop into your whole life? Your life could be changed because the love of God is the power of God. You know, some of us have a hard time grasping God's love, and it's because the love as we know it, the love that we've grown up with in the world as such, is dead selfish. Okay, it's like a give and take love. It's like, you know, I'll scratch your back, but only if you scratch mine. And it's dependent on a feeling. You know, one day I might love you, I might do anything for you, but annoy me or agitate me, then the next day I might just actually want to give you a kick somewhere, okay? It's a love that's dependent on a relationship. It's dependent on how you're feeling. And that's true, isn't it? We all have experienced that type of love, that we fall in and out of love quite easily, to be honest. And last week, Andrew talked about God's type of love and how God's type of love is not like that at all. And he used the Greek word for love, which is agape. And that is basically what the word is. There's three types of love used in the New Testament. And the first one he talked about was eros, which is kind of like a passionate love. It's a romantic love. In theory, it's an erotic love. It's the love that you would feel whenever you're head over heels crazy about someone. And it's very physical. And quite often, it's really, really selfish because it's all about you. You want to feel good. You want to do that. And then there's the filial love, which is the love between brothers, the love between friends that is a little bit give and take, okay? Some days you like your friends, some days they'll annoy you, and you'll definitely not love them, okay? And then there was this third love that is mentioned in the New Testament. There was agape, which is God's love. It's God's type of love, and it's completely unconditional. It's regardless of how we do. God loves us, whatever. He doesn't wake up one morning and feel, oh, she's doing my head in. That's her. She's not getting any of me today. God wakes up, and no matter what we've done, no matter what mood we're in, no matter if we think that we've totally messed up, it doesn't affect how God feels towards us, because God absolutely loves us unconditionally, because he is committed to us, and because he, in the very core of his being, is love. God cannot help but love. It's who he is. It's like if I had an orange in my hand, okay, you would see that it's the color of it, it's orange. If you tasted it, it would taste of orange. If you squeezed it, orange juice would come out of it. And it's kind of a bit like God, okay? God, at the very core of his being, is love. He looks like love. He smells like love. He tastes like love. You can't escape. You can't ignore the two words. You can't separate them. God is love. And most of us just cannot get our heads around that type of love. How could someone love me when sometimes I'm not actually a very lovely person to love? And we can't get our heads around that. And the closest thing that we have to that type of love is the love that you experience between a parent and a child, okay? Because as a parent, I know that I would do anything for my two girls, okay? I would give them a right arm for them if I had to, because I love them so much. And it's kind of like that unconditional love. But even that love kind of gets twisted sometimes, because let me tell you how quite often the conversation in our house goes. Even though I still love them, this is how the conversation goes. It would be, Lily, just see if you don't stop doing that. You'll be going to your room. You will be going to your room. Now stop doing that. Josie, if you pull Lily's hair one more time, you're going to sit in the naughty step. Now, I'll be honest, it's never as calm as that. It's a very calmed down version, okay? It's usually, Lily, Josie! Okay, it's usually psycho mum, all right? And then, of course, it's like, now, Lily, if you be really good, Mummy will give you sweeties later on. If you be really good and really quiet. And so we kind of have this relationship with our parents, don't we? That if we're really good, then they'll maybe treat us to something, they'll reward us. And if we're really bad, you're in for it. There used to be a slipper and a wooden spoon in my house. My mum and dad are here today. I have to be really careful of what I say. But it used to be a wooden spoon and a slipper. Child line. But, yeah. Like, my mum's mortified now. But, yeah, that's basically what happens. Yeah, even though I love Lily to bits, and I love Josie to bits, there's still that attitude there. If you do right, if you do well, then I'm going to bless you. And if you do wrong, well, then do you know what? You're going to get punished for it. And so because we see God as a parent, we think it's like that with him. We think that when we do well, God's going to bless us, and it's brilliant, and it's lovely. And when we do wrong, you better look out. Today's the day that a thunderbolt from heaven could just zap you, and that's your life over. And that's where we get distorted, because God's love is not like that. God doesn't wake up grumpy. We don't crack him up whenever we maybe don't pray or don't read the Bible or don't go to church. He loves us. He loves us no matter what we do, no matter the way what we think, no matter the way we feel. God loves us. He is crazy about us. And the love of God that he shows toward us isn't based on our performance. And many of us have grown up thinking that. Thinking that if we do better, then God will love us a bit more. If we do bad, then he might just draw away from us. And that's what we've grown up with most of our Christian life. Because we have a hard time understanding, why would God love me when I just mess up so much? God loves you this morning. If you walk out of here knowing anything, please know that no matter what you're doing in life, no matter what you've done or haven't done already today, God still loves you. And it's not just a gesture. It's not just, I love you. You know the way sometimes when you wake up in the morning and you're saying, I love you to your husband, and it kind of becomes so a routine. It's like, love you. And quite often it's an empty kind of love. It's a gesture. It's a lovely gesture. But yet, God's love is not just a gesture. It's not that he just feels nice towards us. God's love moved in action. It moved in action when he sent Jesus to die on the cross. It wasn't just this empty feeling. God did something. God moved in action because he loves you. He's 100% committed to you this morning. And Andrew kept saying that last week, and every morning I'd make up. You see, today I wake up going, God is committed to me today. God is for me today. God loves me today. God even likes me today. Even the days that I wake up, my hair's not sitting in a look of sight and I feel so grumpy, God still likes me. And that's essential. It's essential for us to understand that love of God, because that's when we see it change our lives. It's not that he has a good feeling. It's that he loves you, and you need to know that. Because you know what happens when life throws a curveball? When something bad happens in life, quite often you will hear people say, and sometimes you will even think, I must have done something wrong. God has done this and planned out every wee step of the way. So God, I've done something wrong, and God has put this on me. God's punishing me. God's blessed me with a sick child to teach me a lesson. That is no, no, no. Because God is love. And when you understand that God is love, then you will know that, you know what? God would never do that. I wouldn't do that if, you know, Andrew made that point last week. We as parents know how to treat our kids well. Why do we think God is somehow doing that less? God loves us. He's your daddy, and he will do great things for you. It's incredible. It's not based on our performance, but his goodness. Let me say it again. God's love is not based on our performance, but of his goodness, because he is good and he is love. And that, in essence, is kind of, in a nutshell, what we've been looking at the last couple of weeks. And Andrew totally unpacked this way more. So I would encourage you to go and download the last 2 weeks of teaching, because this is the stuff that's radical. The simple truth that God loves you changes your life. This morning, I'm going to look at one of the most well-known passages about love. It's read out at every single wedding I think I've been at. And it's kind of like, I almost imagine whenever they're reading this passage out, that, you know, it's kind of like a wee hinter to the husband, you know, you be patient, you be kind, all of that. So it's, I think it's like a little warning of, this is the way love's supposed to be, is the way we read this passage. But I want you to turn, if you've got your Bibles with you, it's 1 Corinthians 13. It's just the first three verses. I'm going to actually read it from the Message, because I think it's just so well known sometimes that we can just scan over it. This is one that you learn in Sunday school, that you can just whiz over the words and not take it in. But let me read it, just the first three verses, and then we'll take it from there. So it says, if I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power and reveal all its mysteries, making everything plain as day, and if I have a faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burnt as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm absolutely bankrupt without love. Love is the single most important thing that we need as Christians. We are called the children of love, in a way, because God is love and we're his children. We can see physically, in a sense, that we understand love and that we're doing great. We can talk, like, literally, like angels. We can reveal mysteries of heaven. We can totally move mountains with our amazing faith. But if we do that without love, then that passage says it's all for nothing. We can appear to be doing all the right things and for the eyes of men to see us and for saying the right things, thinking the right things, all that. But if we don't do it with a motive of love, then we've just wasted our time completely. And the Bible tells us, you know what, all those things are good. It's good to have faith that can move mountains. It's good to want more prophecy and to reveal it. They're all good things. They in themselves are not bad, but if they're done with the wrong motive, then it's absolutely pointless. Love should, in theory, be the principal thing that motivates us in life, no matter what we do. And this is why I think that it's really important that we keep coming back to this teaching on love. Never just think, I know it, I know all about God's love. We need to keep coming back to it. We need to keep remembering exactly what God has done for us. Because quite often we can slip into this attitude, you know what, I'm a Christian, woohoo, and I know what Christians do, woohoo. And Christians say amen in the right moments, and Christians wave their hand in the right moment, and Christians can do, I'll pray for you. Sometimes we're in a rush and we don't want to pray for people, and we can do things, we can act like the most amazing, amazing Christians. And quite often, sometimes, if we haven't dipped ourselves back into that pot of God's love, we quite often end up going through the motions. We just do the Christian thing. We know that we read our Bible. We go to church. We tick the box. We do all that we need to do. But yet we've lost something because we don't have love. We don't experience love the way God wants us to experience it. We try to behave like Christians. We try to change our attitude and our actions, knowing what Christians should be like. And we know the things that Christians should say and shouldn't say. And so quite often, if we're not doing that out of an overflow of God's love for us, it's in our self-effort, and we end up just being burnt out because you can't do all the things that Christians do in your own strength. And to be honest, it's a little bit fake if you're doing it just in your own strength, because we are supposed as Christians to really get God's love, and then out of that, we naturally, all our actions, all our attitudes, all our behaviour just changes automatically. And it's so incredibly easy to slip into self-effort and doing the right thing and totally missing it. Life is so much easier when you're working out of an overflow. Whenever you totally get that God loves you, you will naturally start to love other people. You won't have to try as hard. It will just naturally happen. This is why it says in Jude verse 21 that you keep yourself in the love of God. Whenever we understand, whenever we keep ourselves, there's a responsibility for us to keep ourselves in God's love. Doesn't mean that God doesn't love us, but yet we have to put ourselves in a position where we get it, where we understand, and where we know that God loves us. We need to keep meditating on it. This is like almost like getting things in the right order. It's not about acting as if we're loved, acting as if we get it, acting like a Christian. It's about totally getting drenched in God's love. And then because of that, our actions automatically change. There's a difference there. And it's understanding and experiencing God's love to you that changes it. I've been in a place totally where I've just done what Christians do. You know, I've just gone through the motions. I've went to church. I've read my Bible. I've said nice things to people. I've sent little messages. And I've done it sometimes totally out of my own kind of, this is what Christians do, and I couldn't be bothered and whatever. But I'm still a Christian, so I'll do it. No problem at all, because I'm a Christian and I'm meant to be happy all the time. And you know what? See, whenever that attitude comes on, we look like the most miserable people on the planet. We're like, God loves you. Yeah, he does. He really does. Something changes whenever you get excited, whenever you wake up and go, God loves me. God likes me. He actually likes me. I joke with Aaron because Aaron has a tattoo of Jesus on his arm. And I've played with him a wee bit and I'm going, do you know what would be really cool? I think you should get our names tattooed on Jesus' arm. Because I totally think Jesus would have a tattoo of me. Because he loves me. You know when you love someone, you get a tattoo. Well, anyway, but no one else has a tattoo. I'm joking. I don't have tattoos, by the way. Doesn't mean I don't love Aaron. But God actually likes me. I totally believe that. And it's fantastic. And that changes it. That changes my life with God. It's not about running through the motions. It's about being excited. Something changes whenever you meet someone that's totally crazy about God. You know, Wednesday night, Helen shared about being in work and about people, you know, there's other Christians in her work. But yet there's this girl that says to her, you know, there's just something different about you. you know, that you, yeah, there's other Christians here, but what is it about you? And I totally think that it's, see, when people get excited about God and when people just get it, you can't help but release something. You can't help but be nicer to people. And people see it a mile off. You are filled with the joy of the Lord and that you cannot hide it. But that involves you being in the love of God. This passage on love questions our motives for doing things. Okay? We should be doing things motivated by love. And to be motivated by love, we have to experience love. Love, the whole way through this passage, isn't love the mushy love. It's agape love. For us to even think about giving unconditional love to people, even if someone's annoyed you or cracked you up, in theory, you're supposed to give unconditional love. And we can't even attempt to do that if we have never, ever experienced that for ourselves. We need to have received it before we give it out. And when you've received it, you don't just stop. You keep receiving it because, you know, things flow out. You need to keep filling it back up, giving it out, filling it back up. That's how it works. Never do anything in self-effort. If we go back to that passage and let's read the next little bit. So from verse 4 onwards. And this is the bit that's always read out at weddings. Love it. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Doesn't have a swelled head. Doesn't force itself on others. Isn't always me first. Doesn't fly off the handle. Doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Doesn't revel when others grovel. Takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. Puts up with anything. Trusts God always. Always looks for the best. Never looks back. But keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Inspired speech will be over someday. Praying in tongues will end and understanding will reach its limits. We know only a portion of the truth and what we say about God is always incomplete. But when the complete arrives, our incompletes will be cancelled. When I was an infant at my mother's breast, I gurgled and gooed like any infant. And when I grew up, I left those infant ways for good. We don't see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist, but it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then, see it as clearly as God sees us, knowing him directly just as he knows us. But for right now, until that completeness, we have three things to do to lead us toward the consummation. Trust steadily in God, hope unswervingly, love extravagantly, and the best of these three is love. You see, so many people read those verses, especially the ones 4-7, love is patient, love is kind, all of that. And we see it as a little challenge. See it like, woohoo, I'm supposed to be a disciple of the Lord and he's love. And I'm supposed to love like that, so I've got to be more patient, all of that. And that's the verse, maybe that's on screen, maybe next. But John 13:35, this is how the world will know that you're my disciples, that you love one another, that you love one another the way this passage describes it. And I wonder how many of you have sat under teaching in this passage before, and I know I have, where they've told you to slot your name in that chapter. So it reads something like, Jill is patient and kind. Jill does not envy and does not boast. Jill is not arrogant and never rude. Jill does never not insist on her own way. Jill is not irritable or resentful. Jill does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. And the whole purpose is that when you get to the end of it, you feel terrible. Because you go, I'm none of those things. I sometimes am good on some days, and sometimes I just kind of miss the mark. But quite often, we do that, and we go, I'm terrible. I'm absolutely terrible. My love for other people is woeful. And you realize that you're none of those things. And to be a good Christian, you know that you should be. So you set yourself a little challenge, and you're like, today, I am going to be patient. I'm just going to try one of them. I'm going to be patient today. Nothing's going to annoy me. I'm going to be patient. And the majority of the time, we do it on our own strength. It's impossible to be patient on a human experience of love, if you know what I mean. And quite often, our like expression of love is based on our feelings, our emotions, and it's easy to be patient with someone until they're being really, really annoying. Okay? It really is. It's great to be the most patient person in the world, but the minute the person in front starts driving at 5 miles an hour, let's test your patience, okay? And you will be kind. You can be kind. We all have the ability to be kind. But more often than not, we'll be kinder to people that are kind to us. Try being kind to that person who is the meanest, grumpiest person in your office or in your college. That is really, really difficult. And I find it really interesting that love in this passage is agape, because that makes it even harder. It has to be unconditional. I have to be patient to the most annoying person on the planet. I have to be kind to the mean person in work. It's unconditional. And it's virtually impossible to do that if you have never experienced those actions towards you. If you have never experienced patience unconditionally, then it's really, really difficult for you to be like that. I reread a Max Lucado book this week, and he has this like amazing line in it, and I loved it. And it's all about loving people. And he says, the secret to loving is to live loved. Okay, the secret to loving is to live loved. So we've got to know that we are loved first before we can even dream about trying to be any of those things to other people. And it's that same old verse in Ephesians that we need to be established, we need to be rooted, and we need to be grounded in love. And some of the problems in church today is that we're acting out of something that we've maybe not experienced in a while, or we've maybe forgotten, and we're trying to act all lovely because that's what Christians do, but we've forgotten what the love of God feels like. We've forgotten just how much God loves us. And we know that Jesus said his disciples are supposed to be a certain way, and we try to act like his disciples, but many of us can be stuck acting the actions and missing the point that we are loved and it's supposed to be overflowing. Here lies the problem. That something inside you may have died, and yet people need to see that you're alive. Okay, and how do you get excited again about the love of God? Simply this, simply just start thinking about how much God loves you. That's how people will see that you know that you're loved. When you get it, something changes. We get confused and we muddle things up and we mess things up in our head and we say, you know what, people will know that I'm a disciple if I love. The Bible also says that people will know that I love God if I keep his commandments. And we sometimes get that a little bit confused and say, okay, so I got to keep the commandments and then God will love me. That's not what it's saying. It's saying, you know what, I will know the love of God, and automatically, guess what happens? You keep his commandments. And so many of us flip that around. We're trying to do all the right things. We're trying to be lovely. We're trying to keep the commandments. We're trying to do everything the Bible says. But the Bible says, you know what? Get the fact that God loves you regardless of this. And you know what happens? You automatically just walk out this amazing life when you get that God loves you. The love of God is absolutely foundation for your faith today. We believe in miracles, don't we? We believe miracles can happen. We believe that God wants to do good things for us. Yeah, because he's a good God. He's a daddy. He absolutely loves us. And yet, do you know what? One of the most important things that we need to understand is that he loves us. He loves us. We see things happen in our life just by that simple truth. God loves me and he's good. Expect good things. Expect God to move in your life. It's important. Quite often you can get to the place where, and I've been here loads of times, it's happened less recently in the last 5 years, but probably when I was in my late teens, early 20s, I felt like this a lot. I just felt that I didn't know that God loved me. I didn't feel that God loved me. Okay, anyone else ever been in that place? Not at me? Yeah, many of us. We just don't feel that God loves us. And I've noticed that a pattern, looking back on it, I noticed that a pattern occurred in all those times that I didn't feel that God loved me. And this was the pattern. I maybe missed reading my Bible because I'd stayed up too late and I was too tired. And then maybe the next day, I forgot to do it again. And then I stayed out too late on Saturday night, so I didn't go to church. And that's all. While those things aren't necessarily really bad things, what I found was then a month later, where am I? I totally felt that, God, where are you? Where are you? And now, the simple truth is, God never left me in those moments. He loved me just as much as ever. He absolutely loved me. But yet what I had done was stop filling my head with that. I'd missed the truth that God loved me and found myself in a place where I felt as though he didn't, because I hadn't been reading that truth. And this is why it's really important that we stay in the Word of God and that we fellowship with other Christians, because we need reminded that God is totally committed to us. You can't do it on your own. When you do it on your own, you find yourself in a place where you're going, I don't feel God's love anymore. And that is total lies, because God loves you 100% and He's committed to you. Something changes when you wake up and you know that He loves you. There's a height and a width and a depth to that love. And we keep growing in it and understand it more and more until it's perfected. Okay, so I don't think there's anybody that will ever totally 100% get the love of God until we're with God. But yet, you know, we have a responsibility in us to keep on trying to find the depth and height and breadth of it. Keep thinking about it, because God will show you more and more and more of His love to the place that your life completely changes. So when life is completely overwhelming, and I guarantee you that nothing will change your life more than whenever you understand that God loves you. So whatever you're going through in life today, if there's crazy things happening, can I suggest to you that you just think about how much God loves you? What am I saying? So, Jill, you're saying that if I think that God loves me, all my problems are going to go away? No, that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, whenever you get the love of God and whenever you dwell in the love of God, you can expect that you will get things in perspective. That suddenly, the problem that is huge and staring you in the face and is right there, whenever you get that God loves you, that problem suddenly looks so irrelevant and so silly, because you get that the King of the universe is for you and is committed to you. And suddenly your worries and your frustrations seem so small and insignificant. You know, I used to be absolutely terrified of being in the house on my own. Completely terrified. And I always knew this was going to be a problem because Aaron goes touring. And I'm not even joking, but it wasn't until Josie was born that I kind of thought, right, this is so silly of me, because up until that point, any time Aaron went away, I went back to my mum and dad's, travel cot, baby, nappies, everything, and went to my mum and dad every single time Aaron was away. And I'm going, this is going to get really messy with two babies now, because my mum and dad only have three bedrooms. And, you know, I don't want to put the kids in the same room, because the youngest one will wake up the oldest one. Then that means, where will I sleep? Oh, I'll be on the sofa. That means I have to get up really early, because they'll all be up early. And I was starting to go, this is terrible. Do you know what, Jill? You're being so silly. Just stay in the house on your own, for crying out loud. You're mid-20s. You can do it. And so I knew that now was the time that I had to try and stay in the house on my own. And it was, do you know what? It was the most hilarious experience of my life, okay? I think I prayed in tongues for about half an hour before going to bed. And then I was going, why am I so worried? You know, my kids are in my house, not as if I'm on my own. I don't know on what planet. I thought Lily and Josie were going to save me if something happened. But I thought, it's okay, the kids are here. I don't know what I was thinking. But, you know, I'm going, I totally know that this is something I can do. And you know what? I fell asleep that night and I was absolutely fine. And now Aaron goes away all the time, okay? He's never around. He's actually away more than he's home at the minute. And you know what? I don't have a problem with it at all. And that was such a huge thing for me. And I know that in the last 2 years, I have just been so blown away by this teaching on God's love, by how much God loves me, the fact that He wants what's best for me and that He loves me unconditionally, that staying in my house on my own, that's nothing. That's absolutely nothing. This fact that God loves me is almost like a distraction. Do you know when you first fall in love with someone? Oh, and you just can't stop thinking about them the whole day. I used to go into college and actually be sitting in lectures and not write a note. Be sitting writing letters to Aaron. Oh, I'm so lovely. And be, you know, thinking about what we're going to do that night. And then, like, the tutor would ask a question and I'm like, totally not even in the room, because I'm just thinking about Aaron and how much I love him and he's amazing. And love does something to you. Yeah, anyone who's been in love will know that. Love kind of drives you a little bit crazy. And you can totally miss whole conversations because you're just, no. Okay? And can I say, you can get to that place with God where you are totally bowled over by how much God loves you, that your problems, they're just gone because His love has completely distracted you. Love is so incredibly powerful. And this is why it's key that we understand it's foundational. Because when we get that God loves us and we understand that love, then things like our miracles that we just, you know, we need miracles, we want power, we want faith, you know, faith, hope and love. And that passage says the greatest of these is love. And let me tell you why, because you know how faith works. Faith works through love. Galatians 5 verse 6, whenever you get that God loves you, that he's for you, that he has good things for you, then faith, your faith comes alive, knowing that God wants to do his very, very best for you. Regardless of whether you're sick in your body, regardless of how crazy your head is, okay, God loves you. And if you're looking for faith this morning, do you know the best place you will find faith is thinking about God's love and how much he has done for you. Just in closing, okay, because I know that time's pushing on, Andrew used an illustration about 2 weeks ago where he got Johnny up to the front and he stuffed him a biscuit. Remember that illustration? Poor Johnny. I actually didn't see that, but listened to it on the podcast and was like, what is going on? And I could just hear laughing and Johnny going, purr, purr, purr. So I kind of gathered that he was putting biscuits in his mouth because I'd seen a photo of it, but he just kept filling him with biscuits. Biscuits after biscuits after biscuits until Johnny, his cheeks were out to here and he almost threw up, I think. And the whole point that Andrew was making is that, you know, it's good to fill yourself with good stuff, okay? But what we don't want to be, especially in this church, is we don't want to just be consumer Christians. We don't want to sit in here going, God loves us. Yay, isn't our life amazing? Something has to happen. Love produces action, okay? And the whole point of this series is that we learn that it's about a flow. Yes, it's about a flow from heaven to us, but that changes something in our world. We are the change that our city needs. We don't just pray that our city's changed. When we get that God loves us, then we go and we impact the streets of Belfast. We go and change the streets of Belfast. That's what revival is all about, getting a fresh revelation of how much God loves you. The world will know that you're his disciples, not because you do nice things, not because you good living. She's a good living girl. Not because you're, that I hate that phrase in the past, are you good living? I'm like, no. But people will know that you're not just disciples because you're good living, but that you're disciples because there's something seeping out of you. Now, not like in a gross way, but there's something just pouring out of you. You are excited. You are infectious to be around. Something is happening around you, and people will dig that. People will get that. People will respond more to that than, yes, Jesus loves you. I know that. It changes so many more lives whenever it's flowing out of here. Your life can be, even though it maybe looks unstable, even though it looks crazy, your life can balance out when you get this radical truth that Jesus loves you and you won't be able to stop it. The secret to loving is living loved. Let's not see this passage as a challenge to be more patient, all of that. But let's see, this is God's love to me. God is patient with me. How patient is he? He's patient enough that when I don't understand it and when I'm not getting it, he's not beating me round the head. Wouldn't you just listen? Wouldn't you just get it? God is patient with me. God is kind. Okay, we got to understand that God is a kind God. I don't know if you've ever, we don't really use the word kind a lot, but God is actually kind. He's good. You just need to read about the life of Jesus to understand just how kind God is, because Jesus came down as the exact representation of God to live on this earth. And what Jesus did was show us how kind God is, because he was completely into people, okay? He knew that he was preaching for a long time and that the crowd was hungry, and he was kind enough to sort it out. He was kind enough to go to that tax collector who everybody hated and invite himself for dinner. He was kind enough to reach out to a lady who was just crippled over with a disease. He was kind enough to reach out to her and say, your faith has made you well. Jesus was kind with people. And whenever we get that, whenever we understand that God is all those things to us, something changes. Leave here this morning knowing that God loves you unconditionally, that he's for you. And yes, I know that many of us are just waiting to get into our building to love everybody and love that community. But you know what? Let's do that from an attitude of love, the love that we've received from God. Because you know what? We will blow people away when we are down there doing it in his strength and not our own. I'm going to invite Griff and the band just to come up. And I want to say to you this morning, the thing that really impacts me when I was reading around this talk was this whole idea of faith working through love. Okay, because I think many of us sometimes get hung up whenever we're praying for something and we're not seeing answers. And we're going, what are we doing? What are we doing wrong? God, what's happening? That's just automatically the way we think. And that verse from Galatians 5:6, faith works through love. Can I encourage you this morning, if something's not working in your life, if you know that God has a full life plan for you, Zoe life, life as he knows it, fullness of God life, and if you're looking at your life and going, you know what, my life is totally not like that. If that's what your life is like, can I encourage you this morning to just really press in and try and experience God's love today? It's okay to ask for a revelation of God's love because he will reveal it to you. And this morning, you know, if we can pray with you, if you're looking for prayer about getting that revelation, then please, we are more than happy to pray with you. And if you need your miracle, come and let us just minister God's love to you, because you know what? Faith works through love.